morning, Karen.
Good morning,
Jesus. Barrett, the minister from the East. Okay. Good morning, honorable members. I think we are all in the house, and with the numbers that I'm counting, I think we can continue with the meetings. Let me welcome everyone present here today. As we continue with the work that we have committed ourselves to, and hopefully that we will continue to pursue our responsibilities to the expectations of the South African populace. Without any further delays, today we'll be dealing mainly with the report in terms of the budget reviews and recommendations report, which is the BRRR process, and hopefully we will do justice in terms of what we see or believe has to be undertaken by all public representatives, but also public servants and civics themselves. Can I then get, are there any apologies? Any apologies?
Sorry, Chair, we've got one apology from Mr. Langa. He's unable to attend the meeting.
Oh, okay. I see there's I don't know whether I will say it's an apology or what from Honorable Malinga, who has got a network challenge that he will be in and might be in and out of the meeting. Having said so, if that is the case, let's go straight to the report. Ari?
I'm listening.
Can you help us? Can you help us?
Ayanda is flighting the presentation, Chair.
Yeah, no. I'm saying you. Yes. The flighting is another issue. The reporting is another matter.
Sure.
Yes.
You want me to take you through the
yes.
report?
Yes.
Ayanda, just go up again. So the first part here basically deals with the introduction. You can go down, Ayanda. Just the background on the Money Bills Procedures Act. And then, the mandate of the Portfolio Committee on Mineral Resource and Energy. And then the purpose of the BRRR. Number four. The method followed by the committee in writing the BRRR, different meetings we had. And then we start with an overview of the performance of the Department of Energy and the Department of federal resources, both on 29 and 26, respectively. We've divided the report into two parts. Part one, which deals with energy. This part specifically, Chair, this is the body of the report, where we've taken the information from the presentation which the department gave last week, Chair. So this is the energy part. Then part two deals with mineral resources. As I say again, from the presentation as presented by the department last week. And yeah, so that is basically the body of the report. Then we moved on. Oh yeah, the body as non-financial and financial as well too. Then we also had a briefing by the Auditor General of South Africa on the Department of Energy and the Department of Mineral Resources audit outcomes. Again, this was taken from the presentation as provided by the Auditor General of South Africa, Chair. Then the next part deals with the findings and observations from, we've divided this again into the findings and observations from the Auditor General briefing and the department briefing. Do you want me to read through the findings and observations of the two entities, the Auditor General and the department?
From there up until to the end, I think members will be more interested because those are the main things that will also inform the observations of the committee. Those are from the AG.
Yeah.
So they will inform the observations and the recommendations of the committee. So it's important we go line by line on that one.
That's fine, Chair. All right. So number six, findings and observations. The Portfolio Committee of Mineral Resources and Energy, both 26, having assessed the performance of the department, we should actually correct that, Chair. So it should be, it's the portfolio. As I said, that part in brackets, that must be taken out. Having assessed the performance of the Department of Mineral Resources and the Department of Energy, made the following findings and observations. So 6.1, the Auditor General of South Africa. The audit process is not finalized for a number of entities within the energy portfolio. These include the SAFE Group, the Nexa Group, Sanedi, Nerwadi, and NERSA. Members pointed out that in light of some of the entities who still have outstanding audits, the overall picture as presented by the AG might change, especially relating to irregular expenditure and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. The AG pointed out and emphasized that the audits which have not been finalized does not mean that the applicable entities have not submitted on time. The AG acknowledged that there were challenges between the audit teams and the management of these entities. According to the AG, various factors contributed to the delays in finalizing the audits of the above-mentioned entities. These included requesting additional information, which led to delays. COVID-19 issues, which impacted delays in board meetings, differences between the audit teams and senior management of the entities. AXA confirmed that the Rwadi's audit was signed off on Friday, 30 October 2020, last week Friday. The committee commended the SADPMR on the improved audit outcomes and obtaining a clean audit. The committee is concerned that the DMR and CGS regressed due to non-compliance with key legislation. The AG commended the DOE on the improved audit outcome. According to the AGSA, the audit outcome improved due to the department disclosing the irregular expenditure. Members stated that it was encouraging to notice that the fruitless and wasteful expenditure has decreased from the previous financial year. Let me give the figures. The majority of the disclosed fruitless and wasteful expenditure for the current year was caused by storage costs for geyser units with various suppliers by DOE to the amount of 90 million. Members were further pleased to see that irregular spending has also decreased to 48.8 million in 1920. In 1819, it was 192.8 million rand. Members raised concerns regarding the regression and non-compliance relating to supply chain management processes. Then, with regard to assisting the department and entities with non-compliance of supply chain management, the AG stated that non-compliance cannot be rectified. The AG stated that they do discuss with management the new pronouncements coming through, which the department need to be on the lookout for so that they can comply. Some entities do have a checklist. So prior to procurement processes, they go through the checklist to ensure that they comply. The AG also share best practices by other departments and entities who are doing well in this area. According to the AG, all supply chain management findings should be investigated. Then we move on to the findings and observations of the Department of Mineral Resources and the Department of Energy. According to the department, a significant part of the financial year was dedicated to managing merger and putting in place transitional arrangements. The department stated that the merger process affected filling of critical vacancies, where a decision was taken not to fill vacancies in anticipation of excess capacity post the merger. The new DMRE will be conducting a reorganization exercise after the merger, aimed at ensuring optimal service delivery. Then, members commended and applauded the empowerment of women in the department, as well as the establishment of a GBV subcommittee. Members raised concerns regarding the performance of the energy policy and planning branch, which only managed to achieve two targets. And there was also an underspending of 7.6 million rand. Members congratulate the department on its efforts in electrifying households, where they have exceeded set targets. Members further commended the department on the approval of licenses to 50% of HDSS. Members were encouraged with the accelerated rollout progress of the renewable energy program. With regard to the budget cuts and the slow progress of projects, the department stated that financial results are also shared with the National Treasury. So, when the National Treasury requests for budget reductions, they are already aware of projects which are moving slowly. The department also reports to National Treasury on a monthly basis. On budget cuts relating to service delivery programs, the department stated that at times there are pushbacks, but they discuss extensively with National Treasury and come up with a collective agreement. The budget for the solar water heater program for 2019-20 was 62.8 million rand. According to the department, the actual number of missing solar water heaters has not been ascertained. However, it is actual components or parts which are missing from the units. Currently, a litigation is ongoing as a full working unit is needed for installation. The manufacturer thus has to give a full unit, as this is what the department has paid for. Also, members inquired as to the reasoning behind the feasibility study being conducted during the period under review when the project is already being implemented. And the department stated that this was a carry through from the previous financial years, which was performed because of the delays experienced. Members raised concern regarding the major underspend in compensation and goods and services of 256 million rand. According to the department, 208 million of this relates to transfers, and a big part of this relates to the non-grid program. Members pointed out that the department incurred irregular expenditure of 8.5 million in the new nuclear build program. The department stated that they have accepted the irregular expenditure, but noted that it has to go through its due processes, one of which is the investigation, and for it to be condoned by National Treasury. Some action need to be taken, and this process might spill over to the next financial year. With regard to fruitless and wasteful expenditure, the department informed the committee that an investigation is currently underway. The department acknowledged that there were delays relating to the non-grid program, specifically relating to procurement delays, and the lockdown contributed to some of these delays. Because of the hard lockdown, the various bid committees could not meet. However, the department confirmed that the bid has been concluded, contracts are being drawn up, and allocations are being attended to by the specific branch. The department confirmed that there should be no further delays in the administrative part of the program. The branch has been requested to inform the service providers that the implementation should happen speedily. Excuse me. On creditor payments, the department stated that they do discuss these matters with the Auditor General of South Africa and that they do share the calculation methods with them. Members again raised concerns regarding the slow submission, perpetual postponement of legislation to Parliament. The department stated that since the merger of the two departments, the branch has now moved with speed to finalize and process legislation to be tabled to Parliament, and also assured the committee that the number of pieces of legislation will be tabled before the end of the financial year. These include the Gas Amendment Bill, the Nuclear Waste Management Bill, which will be before Cabinet in 2 weeks' time. With regard to the ERA and the NERA bills, the department foresee delays on the processing of these, especially the ERA bill, as these relate to current issues relating to the restructuring of ESCOM, the need to regulate the space in terms of the new structure, etc. With regard to the 500,000 incurred by an employee of the department stated that this is currently a legal matter, which is handled by the state attorney working with the department's legal services chief director. So when the matter was investigated, the employee was then seconded from the Gauteng Braamfontein office to head office in Pretoria. Members were very displeased with the wasteful expenditure of 550,000, which was recorded under travel claims for an employee who was seconded from the regional office in Gauteng to the head office in Pretoria. This wasteful expenditure has been happening since 2012. Members questioned as to why no disciplinary action has been instituted against the employee. According to the department, once the investigation is finalized, department will implement consequence management. According to CGS, contingent liability calculations have been performed by them for many years, and they have never had a problem in this regard, neither in the method of calculation or accounting standards which have been used. What made this situation peculiar for the year under review is the service provider who is providing actuarial expertise to the CGS requires particular information, which is consolidated for them to do the calculation. The transition of the transfer of derelict and ownerless mines from CGS to another entity of DMR meant that they had to depend on second-hand and tertiary sources of information in order for them to consolidate their calculation. The quality of information provided was further affected by the national lockdown. With the report being finalized much later, this is where this anomaly has occurred. Then we move on to number 70 with regard to the recommendations. Informed by the deliberations, the committee recommends that the House request that the Minister of Mineral Resources and Energy should, one, ensure that there should be required urgency by management in responding to the AG's request relating to addressing risk identified and improving internal controls that will improve the audit outcomes of both the department and its entities. Two, ensure and emphasize that there should be regular and timely reviews of performance information by senior management to ensure that valid, accurate, and complete reporting is done to minimize reporting errors. Three, provide feedback on the implementation and progress of action plans to ensure improvement in the audit outcomes of the portfolio. Four, address the non-compliance with key legislation, which remains a challenge, especially in supply chain management, which has led to irregular expenditure and fruitless and wasteful expenditure being incurred. Number five, develop interventions to ensure that management implement the necessary controls and checks in place to ensure that annual financial statements prepared are of good quality. Six, focus more on gold and coal mines. Focus more on gold and coal mines when devising a strategy to achieve the zero harm goal. Identify all activities that are likely to be negatively affected by level one regulations and develop a mitigation plan to address these. Present the findings of the legislative reviews that were performed during the last financial year, as well as the program of action before the committee. Present a medium-term plan to deal with obsolete ICT systems, which was identified by the internal audit as posing a risk to the sustainability of the department's operation. 10, engage the National Treasury regarding the financing of the ICT system as to minimize risk to the department's operations. And then number 8 is just the appreciation from the committee side. So in a nutshell, that is the report, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Ari. I will just allow members to make comments. Maybe let's start on the observation, and then we will go to the recommendations, honourable members. I've got some issues, Ari, that I think as part of the findings and observation have to change, subject to what members say. For instance, at some point, if we agree as a committee, we will have to take out the point that says members and say this, because those observations will be owned up by the committee. So I'm just saying the wording, we'll have to change at some point, subject to whether such observations are agreed to by the committee. But honorable members, can we go? I'm not taking away your right to also deal with the reports themselves, both by the department and the AGSA. But I'm just saying, for me, what is important is on the observations, findings and observations. Can we start with that? But members are entitled. We will then go to recommendations later on. But they're entitled if they want an item above the, anywhere above the findings and observations, members will be entitled to make comments on those. But I just want to caution, we must deal with six, and then we'll go to seven, which is recommendations, so that we don't mix the two. Honourable members, can I have any take?
Chair?
Honourable Mylam? Okay, let me check your hands here. Is your hand up? Any other member? Any other member? Okay, you seem to be on your own, Honourable Mylam. Okay, continue.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I first want to raise a process concern, and that is this. Normally we get full presentations from all the entities before we consider a BRRR. And I know we've experienced some difficulties with the COVID crisis and the AGs hasn't finished some of the audits, but I find it difficult for us as a committee to adopt a budget review and recommendation report in the absence of presentations from the entities. So I'm a little concerned in that regard, because I don't know quite where we would.
We lost you, Honourable Mylam. Honourable Mylam.
Chair, can you hear me?
Now we hear you.
Sorry, Chair.
We lost you, yes. Okay, continue.
Connection. So my second concern, Chair, relates to also entities, but I think it goes under the findings for the AG. And I note in the first bullet point what it says there, the audit process is not finalized. But I think we need to actually point out that this is an AG function. And as I said in the meeting last week, I'm normally one of those that goes around praising the AG, but in this particular instance, it's the AG that has failed the process. And we need to point that out and make it very clear that that's not acceptable. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. In the absence of any other member, let me start with the first issue, Honorable Mylam. I think it's important. No, we note what you are raising. But we did say in the committee that when we deal with the BRRRs, because of the time constraint, and remember, we should have done the BRRRs by August, ne? I think so, August or so, and there have been delays. In fact, the department, we were a little bit fortunate that the department, instead of tabling by the 26th or so of November, they managed to table on time. So the issue of the entities, which we did highlight in the committee, that because of the time pressures, the entities can be included, but the department, when it presents, it will have also to present on the basis of the entities. As I say, we have to finalize this report the earliest as possible. I note what you are raising. Yes, it's true. We should have the normal procedure is that all the entities will have to present. The second part, I think I agree with you. Although I'm not sure. In fact, that is my Honourable Mashaule, so that I don't close you out.
Thank you, Chair. Greetings to you, Chair. Greetings to honorable members. And greetings to the department led by the Director General. Chair, really, there is nothing much that I'm raising my hand for except to support Honorable Malam on the point where he is talking about the AG and its failure to do things on time, but it should be reflected in our report, as he had mentioned in the last meeting. I 100% support Honorable Malam on that. And the first point, he is correct, and as you are putting it, that for the sake of progress, I think we should go to the introduction of the report, and I think it's paragraph 3, where it outlines the process followed by the minister and outlines our dilemma in terms of how normally we would approve the BRRRs and why in this case it would be different. Now, my plea to Honorable Malam and others is that given the fact that in our report, the BRRR report, we have inserted these issues to be part of the umbrella of the law. Let's not hold back to approve the report itself, the BRRR, to say this is what we are submitting to the House as a report, noting that there are issues that otherwise would have done differently. I just wanted to make that clear that I think drawing from that introduction, we are protected to can go ahead and approve and await at the time. It says 2 months or so, await the report that Honorable Malam is talking about. And unfortunately, we would have approved this, but we can interrogate what comes after that. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. I was still on the issue of the AG. I think I shared the concerns with members, but let me add and say what worries me, and I think I must raise this point with extreme caution. It's not in any way, this is an audit of a credible institution. And I agree with Honorable Malam. I had never been someone who can doubt what they are presenting us. But in addition to what you raised, Honorable Malam, I think for me, there is a point that must be raised with the AG so that in future, the presentations they make and the findings they make, they don't get questioned in terms of their credibility. It's my second observation now from the Fifth Parliament and to this one, that if you look on the case of the employee, that case dates back as up to 2012. Now, for all these past financial years, the AG has been auditing the Department of Mineral Resources, to be specific, as a portfolio, only to discover this almost 8 years later that there was this anomaly. Now, the big question will be what more we might not be aware of. I think for me, that is why I'm saying I appreciate the fact that there is no way you can question what they present. But sometimes when findings of that they make are as late as 8 years, when something happened, you could have been stopped almost at least 2 years or so. It's a worrying factor. And I take the point also. I think for me, The other problem is the blanket, except on one entity, is the blanket statement that some of these were submitted on time, but due to COVID-19 challenges, they could not be finished, and there's no specification which of these entities, when they wanted information, they were not given it, because it would be nice the AG to tell us that this particular entity, we asked for this information, they were unable to return to us on time, so that we don't put them under one basket when they could have those who complied. The second thing is that, again, on the required information, if I listened correct to what the AG said, maybe we must have a separate discussion with the AG. What the AG said, they said in the meeting that the reason they had findings, they had unqualified audits with findings, is because some of these entities or departments, they gave the information at the time when they collected the information during the time of their audit, when they were requested to account for this. Hence, they did audit. They had unqualified audit with findings. Now, the big question is, if that is the case, she says they corrected the mistakes, but they are not part of the audit report that they are giving. So there will be that dilemma. At what point does the information get corrected? And if it is corrected, what then becomes the outcome? That is going to be a big challenge. So yes, there is a bit of a technical concern on concern as how the report itself has been submitted. But I agree with members that the manner in which things have happened, because my fear with this audit outcomes is that you've got almost a full portfolio except one, a full portfolio that has not accounted for. And the biggest question again, which I think if members allow me to make an opinion, the difficulty, honorable members, may not even be whether the entities have presented or not, or what, is that both these portfolios, the manner in which they operate, I always say they are more like a transmission account. Now, if you've got such a good, and I'm not questioning that, if you've got such a good performance by the DOE, the big question is, how will you measure that performance when there would have been allocations given to the entities? Whether then those entities come back and you find that there has been no authority control. That for me, because as I say, that most of them, they take money, they allocate to entities. And how that money gets utilized by the entities surely may have an impact on the portfolio itself. Lastly, which I think is a critical issue, is that if we look at the report, I don't think we should leave this kind of an observation with regards to the employee whom I will go to the recommendations, whom to me is the major cause of the wasteful expenditure, based on the amount. Now, if then we've got a department, and with all due respect, DG, this points very badly to the management, that you employ people, if we were to ask the question, you employ a person high up, whether it's a DDG, corporate services, then chief director, human resource, and so forth, all of them up to the level, maybe to the lowest level of a human resource official. Then something like this, we are told, requires what you call state attorney. I can't understand. I don't know, but I think we should observe. For me, part of the finding and observation is that that wasteful expenditure should not have happened, because there are people who are employed to look at human resource issues. It's a human resource failure. I don't think we must put up beat about the bush. And in that case, matters of discipline, I can't understand. That's why I'm saying we need then to make a very strong recommendation on what has to be done with regard to that specific case. From where I sit, there is no way you can have someone whom you felt that he has got a case to answer or whatever 8 years ago, and you say now you want to rectify the situation. I can represent that employee, and definitely is going to succeed on the case. I don't know where, I can't get a sense, where does the state attorney comes in on a simple matter. I don't care what the person had committed. On a simple matter like this, when a person should have been invited to a DC, and based on the DC, that's when then the issues will relate to what action does the individual, after the department would have made a finding and a sanction. In this case, as far as I'm sitting, I can't get what had happened. So I don't know how we can phrase that part, but I'm just saying, with the department having all the required resources, my observation is that there's been a failure in terms of human resource to deal with a basic matter, which should not be a matter that we are talking about now. I think that is the point. I don't know how we phrase it. If members do agree, I'm comfortable. But if members feel that no, it's not a big deal, I'm comfortable. I'm part of the committee in any way. I see your hand is still up, Honorable Mashaule.
Sorry, Chair.
I see your hand is still up.
No, it's the... It's from that time.
The previous, okay. Do we agree, Honorable Members, on some of the issues that we've made in terms of the observations? Ari, you'll find a better English if members agree.
That's fine, Chief.
Okay, I tell you that members, there is agreement. Can we go with the recommendations? Any hands? You are so quiet. Any hands? Honorable, I see Malinga. Any other hand? Okay, Honorable Malinga.
Chairperson, I went through the recommendations. I think they are in line. I think they are proper, Chair, unless I'm fundanga kahle. So I am supporting the recommendations, Chair.
Chair. Chairperson.
Sorry, I thought I've unmuted. Honorable Mashaule, I'm busy, Honorable Mashaule, and I'm talking to myself.
Oh, no, Chair, I wanted to say exactly what Honorable Malinga is saying. We were commenting on the overall report that there would be just one thing missing, which would speak about the AG, but the rest would be, as we have read, acceptable. And without channeling you out to chair the meeting, I heard you saying that there are things that you would want changing in the report. Maybe we should go there, because we really are fine from what we have read.
Okay. Ari.
I'm listening, Chair.
Can you go down on the recommendations? I want us to deal with this thing with all due respect. One, can we ask the department to, because if you look on the report from the AG, when it talks to the turnaround time and the targets, one of the things they've raised is, I don't want to use, with all due respect, my English may not be good, is the what do you call collections? Now, which we talk about the ICT system, I think we must request the department, in my view, besides just the ICT, request also the department to make a proper presentation on the handling or dealing with or looking at the licensing regime, so that we can see where are we making, because the AG talked about the concern on losses made on recoveries on with regards to whatever the, like, I don't want to use, I don't know that word, we can find. I don't think it's only just for, so that we can see the turnaround time and how much is collected as a revenue by the department. Two, I think, honorable members, we must also request the department that can they give us the incident, what happened to the employee and what action was taken and how was the cost incurred and how do they want to rectify that situation. I don't think when this matter is presented to us, we should just look at it and say the AG has made this finding. I don't think it requires, so that we can also see whether this really requires the state attorney. If it doesn't, or we feel it doesn't, we must be able to express so that it does not recur to the following year, because the department says it's waiting for. Can the department give us the case, what happened, and what action has the department taken? How did it arrive to the compensation for traveling for 8 years? And what action they intend to take to rectify the situation? And who are responsible for that loss? I'm sorry, but for me, I always say the day we make public sector consequential, have got consequences, is the day we'll improve on how administratively it operates. But if members, again, as I say, but I feel we need to get the details into the bottom of what happened and how do they intend to correct that anomaly. Because if we sit here, it only says for 2019-20. We don't know, it's recurring now, it's going to come back 2021. And it will then be said, it was presented to this committee and this is what is happening. The committee could not make a firm recommendation on that. Those are the two issues I thought I wanted us to add in terms of the report. Is there an agreement? I know, Honorable Mashaule, I spoke after you and Honorable Malinga.
No, Chair, there is agreement in both the two points. Yeah, we had missed the revenue collection as something that was flagged by the AG, and therefore it should have a recommendation that corrects how revenue is collected by the department. So I agree with this one, and I agree with the other one on the traveling cost, because you can't, as a person, claim more than half a million and nobody says something about it. And if it's said, there are no consequences, it can't be. So we are in agreement, Chairperson.
Okay. Is there any move of the report with the amendments made?
There's a hand, Chairperson.
Okay. Oh, ish. I see. Honorable Matogwe, there's Honorable Kula. Okay, in that line.
Thank you, Chairperson. I was disconnected a bit, so I have actually missed a bit of the conversation. But I understand that we are now going through the recommendations. I had both of them, the amendments that you were asking that they must be there. But also, I wanted us to perhaps, even on the recommendations, because in the reports that we got, both from the AG and the department, was that the reports were incomplete and not everything had been properly processed. So there must be something in the recommendations as well that speaks to that and gives timelines as to when these reports must be completed, because now we are working with information that is incomplete.
Okay. That, Honorable Kula?
No, Chair, because already there's been a move for the report to be adopted, because I think that we are in agreement in as far as the recommendations are concerned with the additions that we have made. So I did not see any issue with us adopting the report as it is and moving forward. But also, Chair, I have to say that I think we must caution some members in this portfolio committee, because the last time we were dealing with the BRRR, who would agree in the committee? When we get to the House, there is a natural temptation from some members of this committee to then distance from themselves from a decision they were party to when it was being taken. So I wanted to caution them that no, let's not do that. If we agree on the recommendations, we must agree and later not change because we want to grandstand somewhere else. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. No, Honorable Matogwe, let me say the difficulty is that we can make that recommendation to say that we hope or we request that the AG, because the information has been given, must be able to put the outcomes of the outstanding entities that have not submitted before the House rises this year. The Honorable Kula is not a the point is, we are a committee of parliament. The question of tabling and putting reports to the House is a decision of political parties. So we may agree here as a House. I've learned to accept those things. We may agree here as a House, but your principles, when you go to your own party, your principles may not necessarily agree. They may have a new information. That is precisely the reason why then we put it as recommendations, not decisions. So we recommend, it's up to parties in the House to then decide whether they accept or they don't accept our recommendations as a committee. It is also up to the parties themselves to decide whom do they put to debate or make a declaration on behalf of the party. So it would be difficult to tell parties what they can do. Yes, it will be nice when, as members, we make recommendation and stick to them. But unfortunately, the system is about recommendations, not decisions. It's only when the House can take a decision or a vote on a matter and we all unanimously agree in the House, and then decide again outside the House to say no, we don't own that. That becomes a different scenario. But I don't think it's a difficult issue. Honourable members, there was I assume that there was a move by Honourable Mashaule to for the report with the amendments. I thought Honourable Kula was seconding, especially now with the amendment of Honourable Matogo. Can I get now a second to the pro to the mover?
Seconded, Chair.
Okay.
Chairperson.
Yes, Honourable Malem.
Chairperson, the Democratic Alliance reserves its rights in this regard.
Okay.
Thank you.
Honourable members, the report is agreed to. Can we now go to... We're dealing with the minutes.
We actually have the minutes on for tomorrow, Chair.
Ah, well, that's what we've seen this thing of Tuesday and Wednesday. I understood, but I'm worried about the time you have taken. Eh? You want to go home early, even when you are at home.
You want to fly to Cape Town, Chair.
Okay, no. Honourable members, being the case as it may with the amendments, the meeting stand adjourned. Let's meet tomorrow. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. We must not feel bad that we agreed early. We agreed as quickly as possible.
Thank you, Chair.